My message this morning, as advertised, is on God's warning signals. And there are some definite warning signals in the Word. Divine God's highlighting His plan, His acceptance, His covering, actually, for His people. He is not deleting the warnings and the call to His people to walk with Him and to live for Him. The warnings that He has given are just as sure as ever, but He wants them to be put in their proper perspective. He wants people who love God and who desire to live for Him to know how safe they are. But He wants people who are fooling around with Him, with the gospel, and not taking Him seriously. He wants to know them that the path they're on could lead to real trouble. We talked about this in my Friday class. By the way, if you could possibly come, that class is a stimulating class. It's growing. That room is almost full. And we talked about some of these things. And the conclusion from the congregation was this. And given in a little illustration, that people who are not lawbreakers, who are law-abiding citizens, they're not worried every day because there happens to be a jail down. In fact, they can walk right straight up to a policeman, look him in the eye, shake hands, and say, "Today, don't need to worry, because so what? They've been minding their own business." You folks that are here today, I wonder how many of you have thoughts about the county jail every day. Can I see your hand? Three or four of you. Well, we won't tell who you are. My wife gets a little nervous around policemen, especially when she doesn't have those tags on the license plate, you know. She got stopped by one here lately. And then occasionally she forgets to have her driver's license renewed. And I wondered a few times when I saw her getting real nervous while I was ones coming by and found out that she was 8 months overdue with her driver's license. So I told her I'd lend her mine, but she didn't think it would pass. But you know, and carrying this over into the Christian life, people who have no reason to be afraid of God at all have been living in fear for years and years and years and years. Because there are some warnings that are given. Those warnings do not apply to that one who desires to walk with God. That warning is for the one who wants to see just how much they can get away with, how close to the edge they can walk. That person who, when they see the thin ice sign, the warning that's marked out, that warning isn't given to people with good sense. Oh, wait a minute, I shouldn't use that word. People who aren't reckless or careless, that warning is given to the one who takes matters in their own hands. Says, "Well, I'm just a little different," and defies the signals that are there. God does have definite warning signals. But the gospel is a gospel of good news. This is established. The word gospel means good news. Did you know that a message of fear and of doubt and of blackness, a message pointing to other things is not a message of the gospel? It can't be, because the gospel means good news. Now, God is a God who has the two sides, and there are messages, there are warning signals that he's given in the Word, but they're not part of his gospel. His gospel is good news. You can come now. God's wrath is turned away. God loves you. God wants you. God has room for you. God responds to your need. God is able to help you. Oh, hallelujah. When we realize what the gospel really is, he said, go into all the world and tell this gospel, the good news, to every creature. I like Romans 8. And in fact, that whole chapter is just a beautiful chapter. But I was reading a little different commentary on this from the Living Bible, and I thought it was real good. Don't worry about parts that may give you little hang-ups here, but there is a thought here that will help you to see what the Lord is really saying. I'm going to read from verse 30. And having chosen us, God called us to come to him. And when we came, he declared us not guilty. Isn't that a good message? When we came, he declared us not guilty. And then he did something else. He filled us with Christ's goodness. And he gave us a right standing with himself and said, I'm going to beam down on you the very atmosphere in heaven. Give you a little foretaste of what it's going to be like up there. Why, this is the reason believers are happy. The Lord has literally given us a foretaste of what he has for us. Gave us the promise of his glory. Then, verse 33, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He is the one who has forgiven us and given us that right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For he is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us and is sitting at the highest place of honor next to God, pleading for us there in heaven. Who then can ever keep Christ's love from us when we have trouble or calamity, when we are hunted down and destroyed? Is it because he doesn't love us anymore? And if we are hungry or penniless or in danger or threatened with death, has God deserted us? No. No. Despite all of this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ which loved us. Praise the name of the Lord. I wanted to share those verses with you. God has given us this right standing with himself. God does not condemn us. In Jesus' own words, John 3:16 and through 18, you read these words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's what he gave us, that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son. Listen to this. If you have never heard it this way, open your Bible and underline. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. A lot of people think he came to condemn them. He didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but he sent his Son that the world through him might have life. And then Jesus said, for those who believe on him are not condemned. They're not condemned. But those who believe not are condemned already. God is saying, this world is lost. They've lost their way. They need a way out. There's condemnation. There's a cloud that has settled over this world. And my purpose in sending Jesus is to remove the condemnation. And that's what he did when he sent Christ. Those three big barriers that I've told you about that separated you from God, that condemnation, Jesus came to remove. He did not come to condemn us, but to save us. Hallelujah. And to give us life. This is the truth of the gospel. There may be some here today. Your life has been miserable. You wanted to serve God. You wanted to please him. But there were things, words ringing in your ears that robbed the beauty of God's plan and purpose from you. And there were constant reminders of the fact that you may not have achieved a high enough spot, a place on God's ladder. And you hadn't quite found a place of acceptance. And here God had set you in a slippery place and said, now, one little move from this line here, and I'm going to disown you. It's like seeing a person walking along a slippery pole with a great chute on each side. Both chutes lead to damnation. And God sets us on that slippery chute there, and he says, now, if you can walk down this pole across this spot, and if your sense of balance is good enough, and if you're lucky enough, maybe you'll get across. That's the picture they have. When God says, take another look at what you're standing on, through the word, and there we see it. We see a firm, solid highway. Ooh, hallelujah. And we see around us great angels from heaven. For he said to his angels, take charge of those people, and they'll bury you up, lest you slip a little bit. Hallelujah. For God did not save us to condemn us, but to give us life. Praise God. And his plan was not to see how good of a balance we had, but his plan was to take us, because he has plans for us that after this life is over, that we should be with him. His plan is to restore us into a place of fellowship and then reunite us with himself in heaven. This is God's plan. Hallelujah. So those of you who desire to live for God, stop being afraid. God has you covered with the atonement. The word atonement literally means God's cover. God has you covered. The atonement. The atonement literally covers you so that you can be at peace with God. I've mentioned it to several different groups this week that word atonement, the definition that is often given, is not really the definition. And that is have peace with God. That is the result of atonement. The atonement means to cover anything that could keep you from having peace with God. You see, that's what he did in the atonement. The reason I emphasize this, God's word is so positive, and it's so real and so rich. And in this day, the final message before the call of the trumpet, that we might come higher, that final message is the message of atonement. This follows the pattern that God gave in his plan of salvation before he made the earth. He wants people today to know that they're covered. It's the plan. The next sound, the next message will be the sound of the trumpet, which says you can come now. Praise God. And this is why the Lord wants this message to get out to the world. The world needs to know what God intended for them, what he had in mind for them, that they might come, that they might be at peace with him. Praise the name of the Lord. This is God's pattern. It's God's plan. Hallelujah. So those of you who desire to live for God need have no fear. I have a letter in my office that I haven't answered yet. I'm going to be answering this week. A lady wrote, she was very fearful. She heard my message in Spokane, this message on how safe the believer is. And I mentioned that there were two ways and how all the other things would fit into these two things that caused the person to, that led them out from under God's cover, rebellion and idolatry. And her heart was filled with fear. And she said, I just feel though I want to live for God, but like I've rebelled in some ways. And so I'm afraid that the Lord has said I'll be out from under his covering because I've rebelled. And that she told me then in the letter what she had rebelled against. She had rebelled against some tradition. She had rebelled against some of the teaching that brought bondage and hurt and weight. And I mentioned to my group on Friday, well, here's another guy that would rebel against that. God isn't talking about you rebelling against the bondage and the weights and the hurts that would be heaped on you. He's talking about rebelling against what he's doing for you. And even then, he gives you those warning signals and says, hey, that trail leads out from under the covering. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. Here's a way to return. So I'm going to be writing her a letter that's going to make her happy because of it. That woman really loves God. Here's the picture, really. Without this message of God's covering, everybody, people who are living for God, people who are fooling around, people who could care less, are all in the same fracket. All of them feel they're exposed under the eye of Almighty God. This message of the covering tells people who are wanting to serve God and honestly have surrendered their life to him. He says, hey, quit worrying. And he says, you folk are under this covering. So it isn't a matter that a person living away from God suddenly can continue living in his sin and say, hey, now everything's all right. You're not included in that. Oh, no. In order to be included, you have to move where he is and follow him. Now, real quickly, we know that God's covering allows him to see us. And I want to emphasize this again, since it's his message for today, that you are sinless with your faith in him. You're sinless. You are blameless. You are unreprovable. Colossians 1:22, Ephesians 1:4. These verses, get them in your heart and your mind. Remember them. There are many, many others that would follow that. God is not only a good God, a God of love. He is also a God of wrath. For those who refuse and reject, nothing can separate you from his love. He loves even the most ungodly. But he does tell us in Exodus 34, verse 8 and 9, he tells you that though his mercy and his love, loving kindness reaches out generation after generation, that it will not clear the guilty. He loves those people who are guilty clear away from him. But his love, though his loving kindness is reaching out over the whole world and people clear away from God are feeling his love. God said, it will not clear the guilty. Because he loves you does not mean that you have a free ticket to heaven. It means that you have a good call and the opportunity to choose him. The only thing in the world that will clear the guilty is for a person to accept what Jesus has done for them. That's the only thing that will clear the guilty. Now, I would like to go just briefly to give you some of these warning signs. If you'd like to write them down, warning signals that are just putting in modern terms the things that are referred to in the Bible, and then I'm going to give you the references. The first one, I feel this is so prevalent today, It's a loss of sense of importance of spiritual things. There are many, many old-time believers on the road of lethargy. Lack of a sense of importance. It's easier to stay home. It's hard to generate excitement and zeal for the things of God. Well, I've got a few other things I really should do today. And say, God will get along all right without me there in church and in fellowship with his people. But and you read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 20, I believe it is, where he tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, so much the more as you see the day of his coming approaching. So we must keep this. Remember, if you feel numb and cold inside, and it's kind of a weight and a burden to you to think about, well, here I am, another weekend, I have to go to church. I just have to go to church. I don't want to fail God, and it's a duty. There's no excitement in your spiritual life. You better watch out. That road could lead out from under the tower. Because of putting something else in the place of God. God, no longer your God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oftentimes, this is the case. Then the second thing, second warning sign, is when a person stands aloof by unbelief. You might have a real interest in church, in working for God, but you're one of those kind of people who feel that God has given you the gift of skepticism. And you'll look for, if you can find, see something that God is doing, instead of looking for reasons why it's so. In your mind, you're running over, now this thing is wrong, this thing could be different, and so on. And if you tell me that you believe in the supernatural, and give me one reason why you believe it, and nine reasons why you don't believe, why, your words are just hollow echoes. I will have to say, well, by your words, you don't believe in the supernatural. God wants us to have an awareness and a warmth and know what he's doing, believe the supernatural, giving God the benefit of the doubt. So if in your heart you're standing aloof, and Hebrews 3:12 gives us a verse, I like the Amplified version on this, where he said, or he speaks of, lest there be in, beware, take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In the Amplified, it says, in causing you to stand aloof from God. There are too many people that are standing back, observers, standing aloof, saying, well, I just can't get too involved. I just kind of have to see, first of all, and I'm just more or less neutral. There's no neutral ground. You're either pulling one way or the other. If you are neutral, you're as much as telling the world you don't believe in God. It's not important enough to you. There is no neutral ground. And you know this. You've had plenty of people say, well, I'll just wait and see. You know they don't believe what you tell. It's just another polite way of saying, I don't believe you. So, but God doesn't hear that sort of thing. He says they're standing aloof in their acceptance and their belief of what he's doing. They're looking for reasons to doubt the supernatural instead of defending. Willing to defend what God is doing. We need to be like Peter and Paul and the rest of these men who are willing to stick your neck right on the block for God. I believe there are plenty of people today that are willing to do this. I don't believe there has ever been a time when people were more dedicated to what God is doing than they are today. But for those who feel like they can and they can stand, look, these are warning signs that God wants us to notice. Another one, Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. When you start drifting back, long before you get a clear away from God, you're interested only in those things that pertain to you, not the things of God. These are warning signs. Paul refers to another one, Romans 6:1. The grace of God is this beautiful cover. It's God's grace that covers us. It's something we didn't earn, something we couldn't buy. It's there. It's something God gave to us, his grace. And the study that the Lord has led me in grace is such a beautiful truth throughout the Word of God. But he tells us, Paul, referring to it in Romans 6:1, said to use not the grace of God as a license to sin. Don't use this liberty as an occasion to sin. There are some that say, well, God doesn't really care so much. After all, he's got me covered. I don't think I'll go out and in doing that, you're rebelling spirit away from him in wanting to presume on the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 6:1. Said, see that you receive not this grace in vain. Don't receive it in vain. It's something God did for you. But when you make it ineffective, when you receive it in vain. I'm going to read just a little bit here from 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. And Paul was actually talking about this in connection with what he had done for people. Listen to it here. It was in connection with his covering that he was giving this warning. And in the last verse of chapter 5, he said, God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then, in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. Now, he said, as God's partners, we beg you not to toss aside this marvelous message of God's great kindness. God did this for you. And oh, what a beautiful word of assurance he's giving. But he said, don't toss it aside. This marvelous message of God's great kindness. For God said, listen to it here, your cry came to me at a favorable time when the doors of welcome were wide open. That's what has happened today. God has really thrown those doors open, and he's heard your cry. So now that he's shown you, don't toss it aside for these other things. I helped you on a day when salvation was being offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. Praise God. Then he goes on to say, here's how you can keep from tossing it aside. Listen to it. We try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept from finding the Lord by the way we act, so that no one can find fault with us and blame it on the Lord. In fact, everything we do, we try to show that we are true servants of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:15 speaks of people that another warning flash, warning signal. Doing despite to the spirit of grace. That word despite actually means to scorn and to degrade or belittle the power of God's grace. To consider it an invaluable, cheap sort of a thing. But he said, those who do despite to the spirit of grace find themselves also on that path that leads away from God. They rob it of its value. Now, in one little spot,
the Apostle Paul gives us, puts it all together in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you didn't mark down another reference, or if you didn't use your Bible, I'd like for everybody to open their Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to give this to you now. These are policemen walking around among God's people. They're badges. Well, you don't have to worry about them when you desire to live for God. You don't even have to have a law book at home to show you whether you're going to be safe from the police or not. Because in your heart, you're living above the things that would cause the police to be on you for easy. Occasionally, we'll have some trouble. We'll get a ticket, and once in a while, the Lord has to remind us. And we do like my wife did, and forget to put the tags on. But that isn't a sign that you're not wanting to be to keep the law, you see. There are times when the Lord has to even discipline us and jolt us along the way. The plan that God has for us is a plan that we can relax in Him because we're covered. We're walking with Him. But for that person who wants to, who is not recognizing, does not appreciate what God has done, and lets that grace of God come to them in vain, there are these warning signals. And that's where the message of rebellion and the message of idolatry come in. And all of these fit right here. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye would be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. There was a cloud of beautiful covering that God had over them. There. They were all passed through the sea. They were protected and spared. They were separated from Egypt, which was a type of the world. They had everything going for them. And he says, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of that same spiritual meat, and did all drink of that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ, the rock that followed them. He was there in type in that Old Testament, following them, and they were refreshed. But even then, though they had this beautiful experience, though they had the cloud cover, though they had the supernatural experiences with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why? They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So lust is a part of the example that he gives us right here. That you lust not after evil things. What is an evil thing? It's a thing that God says, leave alone. People that are hungering after those things that God says, leave out of your life. There's plenty of them. That's what was dragging us down. Why, don't do it. Brings displeasure. Then he went on to say, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Idolatry. What kind of idolatry? Oh, is idolatry of putting something else in the place of God. Calling him Lord, but not doing the things that he says. He said, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. There is a kind of a false report, teaching going around in the world today that the very idea that fornication is wrong is just some old fogey's idea of another generation that's trying to keep the generation today from having any fun. God gave this to Israel over 3,000 years ago. And it didn't start with a generation back or a couple generations before that. God put it there because God hates it. And he said, if you're going to rebel against him, you're getting yourself on a path that leads out from under the cover. I had a couple in my office just recently that said they were so glad to hear about this covering. They didn't realize that they had only recently given their lives to the Lord, and they were a little bit worried because they had never been married and they had been living as man and wife for about 3 years. And they said, we're so glad to know that the Lord has covered us. And we're not going to have to worry about this. Oh, they were just smiling and grinning, and now we can keep on sinning. I told them, you've got another thing coming. I'm not even going to talk to you anymore until I get your assurance that you're going to split as you leave this office. And they split. And I was able to marry them, right? I found. When we find ourselves condoning sin, now, these people were ensnared by a trend of today, by hearing what people have said, even churches, many of the directives that are coming are saying, well, we'll have to find ways and means of accepting this, of working it into the doctrines and so on of the churches. And so it's not always the people's fault, but when God leads us out and he lets us know, I think it stinks. And the thing about it is, these people usually do not have to wait for somebody to tell them. The voice of the Spirit says, okay, it's wrong. It's wrong. Some of you young guys that are telling these girls that you're living for God, and when you get them out in a car by themselves, you tell them that it's God's will for you to mess around. I want you to know, you can't call, you can't look to God and say, hey God, you've got me cuffed. God says, hey, you're on thin ice. That's a warning sign. God has entrusted into your care for that evening a very, very choice, precious jewel. And he says, you don't think any more of me than to destroy and to hurt someone so precious to me. I'll tell you, it's time to start watching for those warning signs, quit defying God. Am I being a little too rough on you? Okay, this is his word. These are warning signs. He tells us right here, neither commit fornication. God said it, I hate it. And 23,000 people were killed because of it. Then there are some others that show their lack of respect for what God has said. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. You read over in Numbers the story of the serpents that came among them. God had to spoke to these people. They cried out to Moses, and they said, they murmured against God and against Moses, and they said, you've led us out into the wilderness to die. And they were saying, God, you're cruel. And then they said, God, you're weak. You can't do anything about it. Then they added another charge. They said, God, you're ignorant. You didn't know there wasn't any food out here. No water. You're ignorant. And God said, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of it. And so he provided a way out. But he didn't tell us here. And this comes right direct from God's heart to Paul. And I know it was something that God himself put there, because it's the way God is looking at things today. Neither let us tempt Christ as they tempted. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now he said, all of these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he can do these things and still stand. That's what he's saying here. Take heed. He's on a path. That's pretty shaky. Now, those of you that have written it down somewhere, that Pastor Buck is light on sin, I want you to write something else down over the top of it here. I want you to know that God is not light on sin. And that I do not condone sin. But I feel that God wants people to hear that message of kenosis and to reach out and find the leverage and the power to be lifted out of these things first. And only those who will defy him and walk in their own ways are those who find themselves on thin ice because they're defying God. But God's desire is that not to condemn you. He's not looking for reasons to condemn you. He said that's the reason he posted the signs. I want to save you. He came that we might have a life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. This is the earliest I've dismissed for a long time. But I'm not going to let you go yet. I'm going to have everybody stand. I'm going to have people who may have felt that they've been walking on thin ice one way or another. Nobody's going to look at you and put you as the worst sin here. I think that it's time you show God that you care enough. If you hear that warning signal, that warning bell, it's not a death knell. It's a warning bell. And God has let you hear it this morning. Right now, as we stand together, I feel that at least 100 people, whether you're visitors or whether you've been here all along, should head here to the front. As an act of obedience to God, I've heard that call, and you can count on me. Here I am. And let the Lord rinse it away. Instead of walking away from him, you'll be walking toward him. Would you get out of the seats from wherever you are, up in the balcony, in these aisles, in these bays of pew seats here, and come to the front, and let God do something real special in your heart today. Praise God. Let's sing the chorus, I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in thy blood that flowed on Calvary. We begin coming right now while we sing, I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee.
cleansing tent with his lights we follow.
Praise God.
Oh, Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the covering us. We thank you, God, for these who have come this morning recognizing your love and your care. Praise God. I'd like to have people come and stand with each of these and worship the Lord. Thank the Lord with them, for there is joy in heaven when one soul moves back toward the Father's house and an answer to the Father's call. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, I know that today the angels of heaven are standing by. And that there is joy in the presence of the angels of heaven because we stand before you today. Lord, I pray today not only for these who stand in your presence at the front. There are people all through this congregation in the balcony and in the lower level here who are making new surrenders to you. They're making fresh commitments to their life. They're offering to you their all that they have. All that they are, they have expressed that sorrow and that repentance for drawing away from you, or for not yielding to you, or for allowing a dullness to come, a lack of interest in the things of God. Jesus, you're here, and you see these needs. You see these who are calling upon you throughout this building. Right now, I pray that you will answer them. May they hear the voice of the Spirit within us that you have heard. Not this day, the reproach, the burden has been rolled away. Hallelujah. And the wrath of God has turned from them. Praise God forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. For each person who is crying unto God, I want to give you by authority of the Lord, I want to give you a message from God that because you have come, the records of all that could ever be against you, your sin and iniquity, have been totally wiped out. Gone. God saw you come. It's wiped out. Completely. Right now, you look into God's face. He sees you with a heart as clean and as spotless as a newborn child. I want you to lift your hands and give God a big word of thanks for what he's done for you today. Praise God. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise thee, we love thee. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory.